Google tracks location even if location services are off. Facebook removes targeting options. Facebook removes security app from App Store. And Facebook assigns user reputation scores. It's Monday, August 27th, 2018. All of that is coming up along with the week's news quick hits on episode 333 of Brave Ad World.
New consumers, new media, new strategies. This is Brave Ad World.
Hey everybody, welcome to episode 333 of Brave Ad World, the official podcast of BraveAdWorld.com, which combines actionable insights with some of the latest headlines in social media and digital marketing news. Every week, or close to it, I take the top stories, provide a recap, and then share insights as to what those stories might mean to us as marketers. My name is Taylor Wigert, and we have a lot to talk about this week. A lot of it in the realm of privacy and security and user tracking. I mean, that is all of the stories this week. So let's kick things off with Google, because the AP discovered that Google stores user locations even if location history is actually disabled on users' mobile devices. For example, location is pulled when users open Google Maps, and weather updates use user location to deliver relevant forecasts. Well, Google contends that it allows users to disable location history, but as the AP found, Google apps still automatically store timestamped location information even when that location history is disabled. According to Google, quote, "We make sure location history users know that when they disable the product, we continue to use location to improve the Google experience when they do things like perform a Google search or use Google for driving directions," unquote. A lawsuit has actually been filed in federal court in San Francisco with the hope of obtaining a class action status. It argues that Google violated federal law for what it calls, quote, "deceptive trade practice." Now, this story, it comes out at a pretty interesting time because trust in digital platforms, it has seen significant erosion. And I think all of the stories that we have this week are a testament to that fact. Details like this, they do little to allay user concerns, even though Google defends itself by arguing that users are made aware of all of this. Clearly, users don't see it that way, which means digital platforms, they need to do a better job on educating their users and make control over personal information easier to manage. Now, Google, it makes all of their users' information accessible, and it even gives them the ability to delete it if they so choose. The problem is most users don't know those capabilities exist, so it's no longer enough to make those tools available. The platforms they're clearly saying, hey, it is in the user's hands. We give them the option. It's not our problem. They actually need to do a better job educating their users if they have any hope in rebuilding user trust. It's not enough to give them the tools. All right, let's shift gears and talk about Facebook and what they're doing from a targeting options perspective. So Facebook's taking steps to actually make its ad targeting options a little less precise by removing 5,000 targeting capabilities. Yeah. 5,000. The move is intended to prevent Facebook from being used as a tool of discrimination by actually removing the ability for advertisers to exclude audiences from seeing ads based on ethnicity or religion. So, for example, an advertiser can no longer exclude audiences who are connected to Passover or Islamic culture or Native American culture. Previously, advertisers could actually omit these groups from being targeted by their ads. Facebook's been working with external groups to weed out opportunities for advertisers to discriminate audiences. This move, it follows accusations months ago that Facebook violated the Fair Housing Act when it allowed advertisers for housing to exclude certain groups from seeing ads for their housing. So this is one instance in which ad targeting can be abused. So Facebook cutting back on options for advertisers, I think it's a good thing. This is part of a larger trend. Society is really grappling with the power of these tools and learning that while they can be used for good, they can also be abused. More targeted advertising on the surface, it sounds like a really good thing. Like, I know as an advertiser, I want more of that and crave more of that, but bad actors have proven that it can be abused. So I think for right now, this is a good step by Facebook to prevent such behavior. And hopefully it's the beginning of digital platforms eliminating it all together, and we can focus on building in like the building in tools so that these things can't be abused, but we can get the benefits of more targeted advertising. All right, let's continue talking about Facebook and talk about a security app that Facebook had in the Apple App Store. So Facebook has removed the security app Onavo Protect from Apple's App Store. The move was made after Apple actually flagged the app for violating its policies on data collection. Onavo Protect, it was a VPN, but Facebook was using it to determine what other apps users had on their phones. Facebook acknowledged this to be the case and argued that it was clear with its users in regards to the information the app collected. The app was actually so useful for Facebook that it helped them determine that an acquisition of WhatsApp in 2014 was actually a good move, as well as it helped Facebook with its decision to embrace live video. So actually having this app on people's phones was pretty beneficial to Facebook. The news came out the same day Facebook announced that it will be informing 4 million users of an app called My Personality misused their data. Like I said, it is a story a day, it seems, on the privacy front. And pressure on social platforms, on digital platforms, it is mounting. And the way things are trending, this only has one outcome. The days of data opaqueness and collection of personal information, they are waning. And these platforms, they are saying, hey, we've told our users that this is what we're doing, this is what we're collecting. Users don't see it that way. Users are really getting frustrated, it seems, with the amount of data is being collected. Now, I'm not sure if that's as much a headline thing as if users are actually saying that and thinking that, but it is more part of the culture of the cultural conversation out there today than it ever has been. And I think eventually users are going to demand more from these platforms. All right, let's talk lastly, another Facebook story, this one about reputation scores. So Facebook is implementing a new system that it's actually assigning users reputation scores based on their trustworthiness on a score ranging from 0 to 1. The year-long effort to develop the scores is intended to limit the spread of misinformation and fake news on the platform. Up until this point, Facebook had to rely on users reporting each other if they were sharing false information. But that came with a problem, because users falsely reported each other or falsely reported real news as fake news if they didn't agree with it. The credibility score is based on thousands of behavioral cues, and Facebook continues to monitor how often users flag content that should be viewed as trustworthy. Facebook is then going to use those scores to determine which stories that have been flagged as false should actually be viewed that way. There's certainly something Orwellian about Facebook assigning reputation scores to users, but Facebook and other digital platforms, they are under mounting pressure to find ways to stem the flow of misinformation, especially among foreign actors. So it might be helpful if Facebook was more transparent about all of the factors that go into determine an individual's reputation score, but divulging that, it would allow bad actors to find ways to game the system. Before, this was all a manual process, but with the deluge of misinformation being shared on the platform, I get why some sort of automation would be really useful. All right, that is it for the week's main stories. So now I'm going to dive into the news quick hits, where I'm going to hit other stories that happened this week at a high level that didn't get discussed earlier. First up, Amazon is testing video ads in search results with some of its biggest ad buyers. The ads feature videos that are 90 seconds or less and have audio. They show up in search results, and users who engage with them, they're driven to product pages to the Amazon store or a custom landing page. The ads require a budget of $35,000 or more. Facebook is letting direct response advertisers turn their videos into stills. The new Create to Convert feature allows advertisers to easily animate photos to, quote, create more compelling and effective direct response ads, unquote. The videos are basic, and they are aimed to help advertisers stand out in feeds more. Google has launched Ad Library, a searchable ad database of political ads that can be searched. The ads show candidates' name, spend, dates, the ads were live, impressions, and the type of ad itself. Types of political ads the database does not include are issue ads, state campaigns, and local campaigns. So it's not comprehensive, but it's a start. Amazon is mulling over an acquisition of the Landmark Theaters, which would bring it into the movie theater category. Currently, there are others looking at the acquisition as well, but if Amazon were to end up with the business, it would be yet another brick-and-mortar category Amazon has entered. The internet erupted in panic this week when Netflix started testing ads for other shows available on its platform prior to the programming users had actually selected. The promotions run as a collection of clips that Netflix says are designed to showcase each show's story, characters, and tone. Now, this could be a simple test for Netflix to find another way to make users more aware of the titles in its library. This could also be a signal that ads may be coming to the platform, with users having the option to embrace them and avoid another price hike. Twitch Prime is going to end ad-free viewing for users on September 14th. Twitch Prime was free to Amazon Prime subscribers. Amazon owns Twitch. Twitch Prime will continue to include free games, in-game loot, and monthly channel subscriptions, subscription credits that provide revenue to content creators. Those perks will remain, but if users want their Twitch experiences to be ad-free, they'll actually need to upgrade their accounts to Twitch Turbo for $8.99 per month. Obviously, this move greatly expands the ad inventory for Twitch, opening up the revenue potential for the platform pretty significantly. Facebook has removed 652 fake accounts, pages, and groups this week that aim to spread misinformation. The accounts were linked to Iran and Russia, and they targeted audiences in the United States, Latin America, Britain, and the Middle East. The aim was to share false news and spread confusion among the electorate on issues. A new report from Vanderbilt University found that phones running Google's Android operating system with the Chrome browser open sends data to Google 14 times per hour, even if a user is, quote, not directly engaged with any of its products, unquote. Google has called out the study, has called the study into question, arguing that it was, quote, written by a witness for Oracle in their ongoing copyright litigation with Google. So it's no surprise that it contains wildly misleading information, unquote. And lastly, Google removed 39 YouTube channels and 19 web pages associated with the Islamic Republic of Iran. They cited, quote, attempted state-sponsored hacking and influence campaigns, unquote, as reasons for the removal. Facebook and Twitter also deleted accounts associated with the same group for the same reasons. All right, that was a lot, but that is it for episode 333 of Brave Ad World. Before I let you go, I do love hearing from you. Send questions, comments, let me know what you like, let me know what you don't like to braveadworld@gmail.com. Please do me a favor and rate and review this podcast on your platform of choice. It helps me know what you think, and it helps others find the podcast. I can be found on Twitter at TWiegert, that's TWIEGERT. You can also find my personal thoughts and insight on social media and digital marketing at braveadworld.com. Thank you, as always, for listening. Have a great week.
Thanks for listening. For more, check out braveadworld.com.